morning, Westbrook.
Good morning.
My title this morning, you're going to have to follow all the way through to understand my title. It is Navigating Through the Log Jams of Life. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." And Psalm 86, verse 7, "In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, and you will answer me." How many of us would agree that when we look around at all that is taking place, we have reason to become fearful? But when we look in the face of our Lord, as we get before him, we find that he can calm any storm. God can see the whole picture, while our vision is limited. So we must be careful not to disregard what he is saying to us as we read the Bible and as we meditate on what he speaks to us in the messages we hear every Sunday and other various ways that he desires to make his will known to us. I was reading an account Elizabeth Elliot shared in her book, A Slow and Certain Light. She begins, "When I lived in the forest of Ecuador, I usually traveled on foot, except for one occasion when I went off alone and quickly learned what a bad mistake that was. I always had with me a guide who knew the way or knew much better than I did how to find the way. Trails often led through streams and rivers that we had to wade, but sometimes there was a big log laid high above the water that we had to cross. I dreaded those logs and was always tempted to take the steep, hard way down the ravine and up the other side. But the Indians would say, 'Just walk across, Senorita.' And over they would go, confident and light-footed. I was barefoot as they were, but that was not enough. On the log, I could not keep from looking down at the river below. I knew I would slip. I had never been any good at balancing myself on top of things, and that log looked impossible. So my guide would stretch out a hand, and the touch of it was all I needed. I stopped worrying about slipping. I stopped looking down at the river or even at the log. I looked at the guide who held my hand with only the lightest touch. When I reached the other side, I realized that if I had slipped, he could not have held me. But his being there and his touch was all I needed." Well, the analogy breaks down here, of course. If our guide is God, he can hold us from any slipping. But the lesson the Indians taught me was that of trust. The only thing I really needed, the touch of a steady hand that they could provide. If I had been inclined to come to a halt in the middle of the log and begin to raise nasty questions or argue their ability to keep me from falling, my trust would have collapsed, and so would have I." And I'll end with our story there. I find in my own life that when I begin to question God about something that I don't understand, that is when faith begins to take a back seat to fear. And all at once, I'm not just facing a simple log that I must cross, but a log jam of circumstances that keep me confused about how to continue on. I want to just think for a minute about a beaver and how he will take logs or sticks or whatever and begins to build a dam across a stream or a river or something. And what happens? All at once, the flow of water stops, doesn't it? It's held back. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to us. Get our eyes on the circumstances and that river of cleansing, pure water. The water of the Word is held back, and all at once we are confused. The circumstances of life begin to overtake us. Well, if that applies to you, as it does to me sometimes, what we need to do is find a scripture that will settle all of those emotions and let you once again find the peace of God that passes all understanding. I have a lot of go-to psalms, and this morning I want to read Psalm 46. It's one of my go-tos, and I'm going to read it all. So I want you to follow along, but in the interest of time, I'll only talk about three verses this morning. Psalm 46, my title, God, the refuge of his people and the conqueror of the nations. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river where streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, and he cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, verse 1, I believe, is the key. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Did you notice how many times that word refuge was in there? And that means he provides a place of protection for us. Now, that doesn't mean that we run in and out of that protection. We find that place of safety, and that's where we're supposed to abide. And strength means he empowers us to continue on. And then it says, the promise to help when we face trouble. And notice the words, he's a very present help. To me, that says he's eager to help us. All we have to do is ask. There's so much in this psalm, but look at the last part of verse 5. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. For every crisis we face and all of the darkness that comes at the midnight hour, God has a dawn designed for every situation that we may encounter. His help comes to us as the sun rises over the horizon. And also the S-O-N begins to rise in our heart. And once again, faith overcomes that fear. Remember the scripture that says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But God's help does not mean that we are kept from crisis, only that he keeps us through crisis. And in his perfect timing, when the appointed morning dawns, he rescues his people from their trouble, having been with them through that long dark night. Verse 10 tells us that to be still and know that I am God. He still says, peace be still, into the raging storms of life. And continuing on to verse 10, he declares, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And see, he, of course, is the exalted one. And one day soon, this scripture will be fulfilled, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know, we have a job to do. We need to pray this happens while there's still time for them, those unsaved, to repent. Because we know in the last hour, yes, everyone's going to realize he is Lord. But for some, it may be too late. I want to end quickly with some thoughts from a devotion from Emma Danzi, posted on Crosswalk. She poses a question: how do we learn to be still? You know, it says, be still and know that I am God. Well, the Hebrew word HAR/PO means be still, and it's found only in one place in Scripture, and that's the one we read, Psalm 26:10, which was penned on the occasion of David's victory over the neighboring nations and the rest which God gave him from all of his enemies round about. You know, maybe you feel as if you've been in a spiritual, physical, or emotional battle recently. Perhaps you're so worn out that you do not know what to do with your exhaustion. Just as God invited David into resting in him by being still, he also invites us today. In order for us to be still, we need to stop. Just like a car on the interstate cannot drive forever without stopping to get refueled, needs gasoline. Well, we need the same thing. We need to slow down to get nourishment. And do you know that's what the Bible provides? She then lists several ways in which God stills us. God stills us physically by giving us sleep. We know Psalm 27:2. God gives his beloved sleep. Russ, that one should be for you. He gets up in the night. He cannot sleep. Psalm 27:2, that's yours. And food, Luke 12:24. Remember, that's the one where Jesus is saying you to consider the birds of the air. They don't worry about food. God feeds them. He says you're so much better than they, okay? And he stills us emotionally by being our counselor. Isaiah 9:6, wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. And he, by renewing us with his word, Romans 12:2, we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. In silence, Psalm 62:5, my soul waits for God. Yes. And through song, Psalm 71:23, my lips will sing the praises of my Lord. So do we really need to rest? You know, our human nature tells us that productivity comes from busyness. However, this is counterproductive. When God created the world, remember what he did? He modeled for us the Sabbath day of rest. Did God need to rest? No, but he chose to rest. If we can regularly incorporate rest into our weekly rhythms, being still will become more of a lifestyle and a healthy habit rather than a Hail Mary, you know, when we hit the bottom. And we all know that. We go and we go and we go. Our body gets tired. And what's happened? All at once you get a cold, or you hurt yourself some other way. You hit rock bottom. And then here comes a Hail Mary. God, I need a miracle. No, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to pace ourselves. We need to be still and know that He is God. And I just said that. Be still and know He's God. Well, that might seem like a silly statement. Of course we know that He's God. But the key is to remind ourselves when the log jams of life seem to be more than we can cope with. So, like the story I began with this morning, we trust in our guide to see us safely through the perils of life, one log at a time, until we're safely on the other side, where heaven awaits all those who have put their faith and their trust in Him. Amen.